Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our February session of the Palmetto College Campus's Faculty Senate. And in view of the recent tragedies and loss of life in Florida, I'd like to begin with a moment of silence in honor of the victims and in honor of everyone affected. Thank you. Okay. Well, we begin with our reports, and our first report is from our Chancellor, Dr. Susan Elkins.
Good morning, everybody. Is everybody awake on an 80-degree day in Columbia, South Carolina? Isn't it great that summer semester is here by now in February? It's such a privilege to be with you this morning, as always, and to share some of the wonderful things that are going on across Palmetto College, thanks to the work of each of you and all of your wonderful colleagues across the Palmetto College system. Please always know, you might get tired of hearing this, but I hope you never get tired of hearing this. And that's how much we appreciate your efforts in working with the Senate. And everybody knows you're teaching a 4-4 load, you're doing scholarship, you're doing service, and we know that the Senate work is definitely a heavy load. And so please always know how much we appreciate this effort and are grateful for all the service that you give through the Senate. All right, my report today includes 6 brief items. And I just said to somebody, I always know I've got to be brief, but there's so many good things that sometimes I have to say a little more than maybe I should. But first, I'm delighted to share positive news on spring semester 2018 enrollment. I mean, we all know that enrollment is certainly drives revenue and helps us to have thriving and thriving campuses. So as of the last official report on February 13th, the overall headcount enrollment for the campuses was up from the same day last year by 213, or 5.53%, from 3853 to 4066. And most importantly, the FTE enrollment was also up over 5%. From 2602 to 2745 over spring semester 2017. I'm always also pleased to let you know that this is the largest percentage increase of all the USC campuses. So when we look at Columbia, their percentage increase is under 2%. When we look at the 3 comprehensives, their percentage increase is between 2 and 3%, but our percentage increase is over 5 in both headcount and FTE. So that speaks to the great work that all of you are continuing to do as we serve students, which is, of course, we know our most important reason for being here. Also, Palmetto College Online, I think it's always important to tell you where we are on that as well, because many of your students are now finishing a bachelor's degree. As of yesterday, we were at 997 in headcount. 997. Now, I know we have a lot of wonderful mathematicians in here, and you know that that's only short 3 of our goal that we've been aiming for of 1,000. So we're really hoping that in spring 2, I'm saying this so you can recruit. Now, in spring 2, we've got lots of students in the pipeline for BOL and BLS, and I know we can get 3 more admitted. So work on that. Help us get to that 1,000 mark. And that's actually a 16.74% increase over the 854 that we ended spring with last year. Also, we've exceeded the 1,000 mark for the number of graduates. So in December, we crossed that threshold with 1,017 bachelor's degree graduates in Palmetto College Online. Now, all the enrollment data will be finalized with the spring census date after spring 2. So you realize we're all still recruiting, and enrollment will still continue to go up as we complete the census in mid-semester. All right, a second item. I certainly want you to know that salary and compensation for both faculty and staff continue to be a top priority. So in conjunction with the faculty survey report submitted by the Welfare Committee in 2017, the campus deans and I are working closely together with the Welfare Committee to develop a comprehensive plan to review and analyze all faculty and staff compensation. With approximately, we have about 265 faculty members, instructors, and classified employees across Palmetto College. So this will certainly be a multi-year process. But as a starting point, we have now compiled and are currently analyzing salaries across the Palmetto College campuses. So we have a spreadsheet that has all those 265 faculty and staff members across Palmetto College. We're analyzing that to look at multiple variables, including years' experience, discipline, rank, cost of living, all those key variables to make sure that we don't have any outliers and that we don't see issues there. Then in addition to that, we're also reviewing what has been done in the last 5 years since the establishment of Palmetto College in all of those various categories that we reported to you at the last meeting in response to the question of what are the policies and procedures for getting raises. So we gave you the list of all the policies and procedures from USC regarding how raises are given, and we're going back now and analyzing, so what's been done in each of those categories in the last 5 years by campus. So we'll continue to keep you updated as progress continues on that, and we're delighted to work on that very closely with the Welfare Committee and Dr. Rashad and team. All right, a third item. This is one I wasn't sure we'd ever be able to stand up here and say, but it's something that we've been working on forever. And according to the Dean of the Libraries, Dean McNally, I think he's been working on it his entire career. And that is we are finally able to begin a celebration in efforts to secure additional library resources for our Palmetto College faculty as a result of the needs assessment that was done in late October. Dean McNally and his team, along with Palmetto College and other Columbia officials, have now identified a process for Palmetto College faculty members to be classified as affiliate faculty for USC Columbia. And that's being done in conjunction with the new PeopleSoft Human Resources System. So here is finally an example of how the new technology is going to enable us to do something that we've been trying to do for decades. Dean McNally says he's been working on this since he arrived, and I don't know, he's been here 25 or 30 years. So what we've done at this point, a test case has been submitted through the system, and once the process has been verified, then we'll start a pilot project for all tenured and tenure-track faculty members. Hopefully this will be launched in March. So what we did is we took one of the deans, entered their information, and now that is being processed through this new electronic system. It takes a while, of course, for things to get through, but hopefully it's through, and then we'll ask the dean to make sure that it works. Once we know that the process works, then we'll be contacting all of the tenured and tenure-track faculty members so that they can complete, it's just a brief form, then those will be processed, and hopefully before the end of the semester, you will have access to all Columbia library resources, regardless of whether you're teaching BOL or BLS. So that's our goal, is to hopefully get this done so that before the summer, in case you need to do summer research, you'll be able to access the Columbia library resources from wherever you are. So once we know that this is working, we'll certainly invite Dr. McNally to come and let us recognize him for his exemplary work through the years. We also are grateful to the work of Dr. Cheryl Addy, who's the new Vice Provost and Dean of the Graduate School, who helped identify this opportunity for us, as well as Ms. Victoria Hollins, who is our Palmetto College Human Resources Consultant, and Dr. Chris Nesmith for continuing to keep this issue in front of all those who could help make something happen. So we're very grateful to all those involved, and we can't wait till we get back and you all are nodding your head and saying, this is now working. So that's certainly a good news item. Fourth, we're pleased to report that progress has been made on upgrades to the interactive television system. I know we've talked about that a good bit in here. The faculty organizations have talked about it. And while, again, some of these efforts are long-time efforts, we're pleased that during this past year, And some of this is technical jargon, so I'll just kind of go through it quickly. If you have questions, you can ask Bob Dyer or some of the people that are using the system. But we've updated our Polycom bridge, and that's the device that controls the calls. So we've upgraded that bridge, and the result is that the picture quality for both faculty and students is vastly improved. And I know Dr. Reinhart, for one, is using the system. I think Bob has reached out to you. So hopefully you can verify, and maybe some of the others, that it's much, much better. We're away from hopefully the fuzzy picture and maybe have moved into a more digital age. Also, we've implemented the Media Suite application that allows students and faculty to access class recordings from any device. So we're trying to go mobile. You know, previously the class recordings could only be viewed from a Windows PC. And we know, you know, we want to be able to have our iPad or our laptop or even our phone and be able to view those recordings. So the Media Suite application now gives us that opportunity. 3, the recordings are automatically published to the Media Suite site. And this improvement has reduced the preparation of videos from 15 to 20 minutes down to 2 to 3 minutes. So I think this Media Suite application, I mean, we were told it would certainly make a difference. And again, we hope you are seeing that difference. But that's a big help from 15 to 20 minutes down to 2 to 3 minutes. And then finally, one of the other issues with the distance learning classes and online has always been transcription services. You know, transcription for those with disabilities. And so research has now begun to look at how we can implement the transcription services through the Media Suite application. So I know that's a little bit technical, but this is one of the items that's been on our list, my list, the dean's list, your list, and we also have a submission in for nearly a $750,000 grant with USDA Rural Development. We still haven't been told no. We haven't heard yes, but we also haven't been told no. But, you know, it's just like with any other technology, by the time you install it, it's almost obsolete. So making that progress, and hopefully all of you are very pleased with that. Now, I'd also be remiss if I didn't thank Mr. Bob Dyer, who is our IT director, along with the IT directors on all the campuses, for all of this work with the video conferencing classrooms. They've done a great job, and I know lots of you have reached out to thank them, so lots of times their work goes unnoticed, so if you get a chance and it's helpful, be sure and tell them thank you. And 5th, Dr. Tom Bragg, who's not able to be with us today, has actually started his work with the Faculty Assembly Planning Committee that consists of the FO chairs, and they're taking that hard look at how we might need to do a faculty assembly, if we should, if we shouldn't. And I know the FO chairs are probably reaching out to all of you, so I'm sure by the April meeting we'll have the results of that work. And then finally, I'm pleased to let you know that regarding the SACS COC 5th-year interim review, that the university received their report in early December, and we actually got a very positive confirmation of that SACS 5th-year interim review, and no monitoring is required. Now, that doesn't mean there were not problems identified for Columbia. Nothing specific to us, but there were some Columbia issues that were also issues for us that we addressed. The report was well received. But I bring this up because we all know that if accreditation's in jeopardy, then most of these other things I'm reporting really don't matter. So we always have to keep that SAC COC accreditation issue first and foremost in our mind. So now that the 5th-year interim review is over, we'll begin the preparation for our next 10-year visit, which is in 2021. And of course, if the visit's in 2021, that means the report has to be done in about 2020, and the work starts in 18 and 19, which is now. So I just always want to feel like it's my responsibility to let you know where we are with SACS and to remind everybody of how important that is. So, you know, we'll get additional information between now and probably the end of the semester and next fall, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of work that we'll begin in conjunction with our SACS visit. So in closing, again, thanks to all of you for everything that you do day in and day out on our campuses, and again, as well as for your critical work with the Senate. If there are no questions, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Our next report will be from the Dean of Extended University and our Associate Provost, Dr. Chris Nesmith.
Thank you, Ernest. Good morning, everybody. Just a few updates from our office. The TMP process for this year continues to progress. The Palmetto College campus's TMP committee met on February 1st. The files are now with the Chancellor's office, and after that they will go to the Provost office for the next level of review on or before March 15th. New this year in that committee, the TMP committee, a new process was implemented for electronic balloting and electronic voting. And all indications from the committee members was that it went very well, was very successful, made the process much easier, more secure, and more anonymous. This was a brainchild of Gene Carano, and it was brought to reality through the efforts of her and Bob Dyer primarily. And so I just wanted to acknowledge their work on that. And also let you know that if your campus faculty organization or TNP committee is interested in implementing this system, that it certainly is possible. You would want to talk to Bob, and I'd be happy to talk to you as well about that. Update from academic programs. Two motions were passed last November in the Senate, one to allow other courses in addition to Speech 140 to count for general education requirements for both BLS and BOL, and the other to officially replace University 401 with Palm 401 in both programs. These were submitted through the academic program proposal system and are currently on the agenda for the USC Columbia Curriculum and Courses Committee this coming Monday, February 19th. I will be attending that meeting, and if approved, those will both go to the Columbia Senate for a vote at their regular March meeting. In conversations with several faculty members and the academic deans about the BLS and BOL scheduling process, we're currently scheduling for the fall, as are your campuses, I'm sure. And we have an idea that just wanted to kind of let you guys know we're working on. We certainly don't have anything that we're ready to roll out yet. The idea is we will develop a website. It would be like a web form that any faculty member can go in and submit a preference or a request to teach a Palmetto course, identify the course, the term, your preferred schedule, and some other things like that. That will submit that to a database, a spreadsheet that we will keep. It'll timestamp it, do a number of things that would make the process fair and open for everyone. And we would also, of course, have an approval workflow within that system so that the campus, whether that's your division chair, whether that's your academic dean or your dean or whoever would approve you teaching that course would be part of that process. So that's something that's in development. Hopefully we'll have that ready by the fall in time for the spring schedule. That's our goal right now. Couple other quick updates. One is Alpha Sigma Lambda is our adult student honor society for all of Palmetto College. We have one chapter for all of our campuses. To be eligible, students must be in a four-year degree program and have at least a 3.5 GPA. We have invited students from the four-year degree programs who are eligible to our spring induction ceremony, and each campus has received or will receive soon a list of inductees from their campus. All faculty are invited to attend, and this will be held April 5th at 4 p.m. in the Capstone Campus Room on the Columbia campus. Finally, it wouldn't be Faculty Senate and it wouldn't be me if I didn't put a plug in for assessment. So you knew this was coming, I'm sorry. I mentioned at our last Senate meeting that we have several areas of student work that have been collected over the past few semesters that are in need of review. Brittany Ashley in the OIRA office and myself have conducted two Rater training sessions for our faculty over the past week. I think the last one was a week ago today. We've had a number of faculty who have attended. They were conducted through Interactive TV Classroom. So thank you if you were one of those who attended. However, if you were not, we are still in need of more faculty willing to assist in the process. Those who went would learned that it's not that cumbersome or time-consuming because it's done through Blackboard, and you would receive, once you log into Blackboard, your items for review. It's kind of like grading. If you've graded in Blackboard and a student submit work, you know, it pops up automatically. When you're done, you hit next. It goes to the next one. There's a rubric built into Blackboard with radio buttons, so you pick meets, does not meet, or whatever the rubric might be. It gives you the criteria. You can do them one at a time. You can do a few at a time. You can do them all at once over the course of the semester. And if enough faculty help, then the load is spread across multiple people, and we would assume maybe no more than an hour of your time, again, spread over an entire semester. But that's only if enough people agree to help. It's very easy, very simple. If you didn't attend, could not attend one of the training sessions, we have videos we can share with you that would show you how to do this, walk you through it, make it very easy. The areas that we're looking for this semester are history, English, social sciences, all the social sciences, and philosophy. So if you are interested, please feel free to contact me if you have questions. Without committing yourself, I'd be happy to answer those questions. And finally, as part of that, as I mentioned to the folks who attended the training session, and I mentioned last time, I would like to develop an assessment committee made up of faculty from across the campuses and in all of these areas for the Carolina Core that would help improve the process, would oversee the process for assessment. If you have been one of those faculty members who have submitted work for assessment and then wondered what happened to it, you know, you never heard anything back, this is your opportunity to help have input into that and help shape how we share that information back out to the faculty generally and just assist with the process and make it better. Dr. Elkins mentioned SACS. This is one of the reasons, that this is probably the most important reason that we do assessment, but we don't want to do it only for the purpose of satisfying SACS. We also, if we're going to have to do it, let's see if we can make it a valuable process that we actually can learn from and improve our programs and improve our teaching. That's our approach. That's my approach to assessment, and I share that with Brittany Ashley, who's been assisting us from Columbia as well. So that only works if everybody participates and is involved. So I invite you to do that if you're interested. Does anybody have any questions for me? Yes, Blaine.
Blaine DeSilva, Senator. Are these evaluations just straight evaluations, or do they have to be justified? Like when I give my student a grade, I have to spend time justifying that grade.
You do not have to justify your rating. However, there is a place below each box for comments. And sometimes people feel the need to explain why they chose, and that's valuable information for the assessment team as well, but you don't have to do that. Any other questions? It's a good question. All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. So our deans are submitting their reports electronically, but if anyone has any questions for any of them, please feel free. You're welcome. Okay, hearing none. have just one brief announcement for you, and I'll remind you of this at the end of our session today. If you look on the table as you entered our meeting room, you'll find these small cards, and you'll need these to use to exit the parking garage if you came and parked in the Discovery Plaza parking garage. All right. So we're going to pick one of these up. As I say, we'll remind you of this again later today. All right. So you see the list of our meeting rooms for our committees on the screen. And please note that lunch will begin at noon in our rooftop spot. Okay, are there any questions before we proceed on to committee meetings? Okay. All right, thank you all. We'll see you in committee meetings as well as at lunch following. And then for the afternoon session too.